On page 15, the Maimah Hador from the Kriyat Sarim from a cook, Zechir Sadeh B'Kodesh L'Vorach. And Rav Kook is describing the heart-wrenching matzav of his generation and our generation, that is stuck between Yushalayim Shalmala and Yushalayim Shalmata. That's what we were talking about at the end last week, the generation that doesn't have the kalim, the ideas of Yiddishkeit to fly and enter into the Yerushalayim Shalmala. Generation wants to be in that place of Yerushalayim Shalmala and is filled with idealism, enthusiasm, but the old generation is not offering the Yerushalayim Shalmala. The old generation is offering only the Yerushalayim Shalmata, Shemiras HaMitzvahs, all the digdukim, all the pratim in halacha, Yerushalayim Shalmata. Of course, the problem is, and that's what we were up to, ki ein kach baruch nichnas b'Yerushalayim Shalmala, at sheikanes b'Yerushalayim Shalmala. The generation is stuck. On the one hand, Yerushalayim Shalmala is something which is beyond them. They have tremendous shi'ifas. They want something greater, something higher. On the other hand, all that they're being told about, all they're being taught is Yerushalayim Shalmata. So they've abandoned, to a large extent, they've abandoned Yerushalayim Shalmata. They're not interested in Yerushalayim Shalmata. That's all they've been shown, was that Yerushalayim Shalmata, which is not attached to the Yerushalayim Shalmala. And Yerushalayim Shalmata, which is detached from Yerushalayim Shalmala, isn't mechaya them. It's not working. So they're stuck. They can't go to Yerushalayim Shalmala, because the rule is you can't get into Yerushalayim Shalmala without living a life of Torah Mitzvahs in Yerushalayim Shalmata. Yerushalayim Shalmata, they've lost their interest in, because the old generation hasn't shown them that there's a Yerushalayim Shalmata that is a reflection of the Yerushalayim Shalmala. They haven't shown them that every single din, every single halacha, every single minhag of Klal Yisrael, every single yediyah in Torah, its shayrish is in the Yerushalayim Shalmala. So all they're being taught is, this is all there is. Shas, Shulchan Aruch, and so on. And they don't see any connection between the Yerushalayim Shalmata that they're reading about and the Yerushalayim Shalmala. That fire of Yerushalayim Shalmala they don't see. And you take them into a shul, you say, here, this is where Orthodox Jews, this is how Orthodox Jews serve the Master of the Universe. Again, there are exceptions, but to a large extent, what do they see in the Yerushalayim Shalmata that even hints of there being a Yerushalayim Shalmata? What the chalal, what did they see? Yerushalayim Shalmata, when it's detached from Yerushalayim Shalmala, doesn't motivate, doesn't excite Hador, the generation. Why did it work in the past? How did it work in the past? That's not the subject of the Maimon. that the Metzius that Rav Kook is describing or was describing at the turn of the last century is the same Metzius here in the beginning of our century, of this century. It's the same Metzius. Yishlaim Shamala Yuchalakanis, Ke'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichnas B'Yishlaim Shamala, Ad She'Yikanis B'Yishlaim Shamata. But you can't get to the Yishlaim Shamala without Tefillin, without Shabbos, without... Doesn't work. There's nothing. It can't be the two Yerushalayims. Because Baruch Hu goes into Yerushalayim Shamala, and she comes to Yerushalayim Shamata. So at the end, the generation is stuck without any Yerushalayim. And in the absence of Yerushalayim, they go to Tel Aviv. That's all. There are other places to go to. So they sit, as they did in Rav Kook's times, they sit in the cafes on the streets by Dizengoff and Allenby, and they talk about culture, literature, art, and so on. And they speak about Jewish values, idealism, and so on. But it's not Yerushalayim. It's not Yerushalayim. Mikdash Melach, the bottom of page 15. Mikdash Melach Ir Melucha. So this part of the Maimer, Rav Kook turns to the tefillah, to the bakasha of Leil Shabbos of Lachadoidi. Mikdash Melach Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi'i Mitoicha Hafecha. Kumi Tzi'i Mitoicha Hafecha. Rav Kook is describing the Hafecha, the Mahapecha, of the time that he was living in. Everything upside down, a certain rebelliousness, a hafecha, a mahapecha, confusion, tohu. Yerushalayim is complete. It's in that state of Mikdash Melech. Mikdash Melech, Ir Melucha. Kumi Tzi'i Mitoicha Hafecha. Rise up, Yerushalayim, Tzi'i Mitoicha Hafecha, Rav Lach Sheves Be'emek HaBocha. I've been sitting for too long in that depths, of, in that valley of despair, of emptiness. His Oiri, awaken, arise, page 16, Kiva Oirech. Kiva Oirech. Your light, the time of the light has arrived, the light is arriving. Kumi, Oiri, rise up. Kumi, Oiri, my light. Uri, Uri, Shir Daberi, Kvayt Hashem Alayich Nigla. Uri, Uri, Shir Daberi, Kvayt Hashem Alayich Nigla. Awaken, Shir Daberi, to begin to sing the song, to speak those words of Dveikus, of Ahava, of Amuna, Kvod Hashem Alayich Nigla. The glory of Hashem will be revealed upon you. After this, Rav Kook begins to lay out the program of what we have to do. Until now, what Rav Kook has been explaining is that the old generation must stop blaming the young generation. It has to stop blaming the young generation. The old generation has to accept responsibility for what's happened. And the leaders of the new generation, the leaders of the new generation have to begin a new way. In order to understand on a deeper level what Rav Kook is talking about, the page that you have, you just got now, this is Perek Mem Zayin, that's from the Iris. From Cook's Sefer Iris, the section is called Iris Atchia. And with the commentary of one of the great teachers of Rav Kook in our generation, Rav Shlomo Avinir. But let's first read Perek Mem Zayin from the Iris, the page that you have. There are many places in Rav Kook's writings where we could be mashal of what we're doing, but here is the it's very, very to the point and very clear. And Rav Avinir is going to help us to understand on a deep level where Rav Kook was coming from. So this is Perek Mem Zayin, Perek Mem Zayin from the Iris, Iris Atchia. B'nei shahat siur shel gedulas ha'or eloki ha'gadol ma'oid b'pnimius ha'neshamas shel dor ha'achrayim shel ikvus ha'demashicha. The picture of that greatness, of the light of God, of godliness, of that light of Hashem, that picture is very, very great. It's very big. Gadol ma'oid b'pnimius ha'neshamas, b'pnimius ha'neshamas, in the inner soul of the final generation of Ikvus of the Mashiach, before Mashiach comes. The Nida Kazu Shein Lahan Adain Histaglus Ech Lan Hig Esachayim Hamamashim Al Pi Godel Elyon Kazu, to such a degree that this generation of the end of time doesn't know, doesn't yet have the kalim, how to conduct a practical life, how to prepare healthy kalim and to conduct practical lives. Al pi godel elyon kazeh, to contain, that will contain and that will express in a holy and healthy way the gedulas or ha'eloki that's pulsating in the pnimius of the neshama of this generation. Ech lanig es chayim ha'mamashim, how to conduct day-to-day practical, real life. Mitoich kach, and because of this, Rav Kook says, ba ha'kfir, because of this, there's kfira, heresy. Kfira is heresy. Heresy, rejection, kfira. Mitoch kach bo ha-kfira. Not because of a lack of faith. Not because of katness. Not because of smallness. Because of greatness. Because of questions that are not being answered. Because of a longing of a thirst that's not being satisfied. Because the same way at the beginning there was a tremendous amount of light, but the kelim were not able to receive that light, and it brought to a shvius ha-kelim, to a shattering of vessels. That is the root and source of all kfira, of all heresy, of all denial, of all delusion. Fear comes because there's too much light. Rav Kook is not talking about a generation that doesn't care, that's apathetic. And remember, Rav Kook mentioned last week, there are always those kind of guys that jump onto the bandwagon. There are always those people that are just looking for an excuse to get out. But that doesn't define the generations. Kfir is a madrega. You've spoken about this before. Kfir is a madrega. It's not so possible to be a kofir. I think somebody that goes to a club is a kaifer. He's a baltaiva. He's not a kaifer. He's a baltaiva. The baltaiva that's not worth talking about now. Not now, that's a different conversation. A kaifer is already a balmadrega. Kaif is upset. A Kaif thinks about God. He's worried, he's upset, he's angry. It's a Kaif. When the war had just ended, some of you might know that the Klausenberger Schussi Elenu, as soon as the Yahrzeit, that the Klausenberger came, went to Europe, went to Western, went to England and France, went to America to try to raise money to go back to the BP camps to help with tefillin and clothing and so on. So there was a Yid that was driving the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was in Montreal. He went to Montreal, he came to the States, and he went to Canada, to the Jews there, to try to raise some money. And the Klausenberg, you know, he lost 11 children, he lost his wife, and he was going around trying to raise money for the Sheiros HaPlaita. He had a yeshiva in the DP camp that was called Sheiros HaPlaita. So he was in Canada, and his driver was taking him down, and the driver had been given the address of a very rich person to take the Rebbe to. That's in the days before GPS, and he's driving around it, and it was in Montreal. It gets very, very, very cold. We had here a hard winter in Montreal. They'd walk around in t-shirts in our winter. It's nothing. It was a very hot winter. It was freezing cold, and it was already dark. It was late, and there's no one walking in the streets. There's nobody to ask. There's no one to ask. We had to get to the address of the Gvir. They need to get to find this guy. And the Rebbe said, "There's this little guy. Drive around more. We'll find somebody." And there's a person walking. There's a person walking, all bundled up, and they stop the car, and the driver starts to talk to him, to ask him, I don't know if it was in French or in English, whatever they talk over there. He asked them about the street, whatever, and the guy just goes, wow. And the Klausenberger leans over to the driver and says, talk to him in Yiddish, talk to him. So he says in Yiddish, he's not... Just talk to him in Yiddish. He asks him in Yiddish, and the guy answers in Yiddish. Oh, he answers him in Yiddish. Where this person is, and you're looking for something. This man talks to him in Yiddish. And they went to the place, and afterwards the fellow asked the Klausenberger, "Why did the Rebbe think that? How did the Rebbe know that this guy is Jewish, and would have such a thing that he didn't understand the language and to talk to him in Yiddish?" Remember, this is a short time after the war. It could be the seat, and when he got there, so the Klausenberger said, "It didn't make sense to me. It's freezing, freezing cold, and this person is walking without any hat on his head. I knew he must be a Jew that's upset with the Baruch Shem." So he said, "Everybody else is wearing a hat and open. If he's not wearing his head, that means he's a Yid." So he said, "That's a kaifa. You understand? It's a shmack. He doesn't go with a hat and a hood. He's saying to the Baruch Shalom, I have problems, I have a taina." He says, "Who else walks around? It's zero, minus zero, and he's walking around like that. Because he's not going to wear his head covered. I'm going to show you. I'm not wearing my head covered, but you did not wear my head covered." So, isn't it odd, is he? A Jew is bothered by God. Bothers him. He thinks about it. There's Iris, but there's no Kalim. The Kalim are weak, the Kalim are small. He says, where does Kfira come from? Where does denial, rejection, heresy? How did it happen that from all of these homes that were Shomer Mitzvahs, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of homes that were homes of Shabbos and Yontiv, that it came out from these homes, such kaifim, they came out from these homes. So it's all that we're learning about in the Maimon. Something changed. We were talking about in the Hakdam in the beginning. We started learning the Maimon. we're going to talk more about it in Rav Avinir's commentary. And because of this great demand for something higher, for Yerushalayim Shamala, and because they're no longer satisfied just draying around in the Yerushalayim Shamata, that it's dry, they feel it's dry, it's cold and empty, so they're upset. The ita, and together with the kfira, is hadidul haruchni hadarim lechorban. This spiritual detachment, the spiritual dismemberment and weakness, hadarim lechorban, which is a chorban, she'onarayim b'dayreinu, that we see in our generation. Aval derech harefuah hirak lahabas kelim. The way of healing, the way to heal this, is to increase the amount of kelim. Hasboros. They have now, it's called hasbara, right? That's the Hebrew word they use for, well, Israelis mean propaganda. But hasbara means lahasbir. Hasboros, to explain, to teach, to explain, to talk. Lahabus kelim, hasboros, explanations, v'tochnios, and programs. The second part of the Chalban Sefer Akisa Varanano. Some of you have been learning that, are learning it. So, the Chalban is begging our generation to reach out, to invite, to speak, to communicate, to stop criticizing, stop pointing fingers. This is the avaida that Rav Kook was talking about, and this is the avaida of our generation, tshuva. And if somehow we have managed throughout all of these years of Golas to be the Sheres HaPleita, that are still Shomer Shabbos, that are still Shomer Mitzvahs, that means that Hashem has placed the responsibility on the shoulders of this generation to talk, to communicate, to reach out to our brothers and sisters that are stuck between Yerushalayim Shamal and Yerushalayim Shamata. And anybody who's ever tried that knows that the second that you begin to speak, especially individually, to invite, to speak, to talk, one of my children. They live in North Woodmere. North Woodmere is 2 minutes away from here. The community there is growing very much, Baruch Hashem. In North Woodmere, there are a lot of Israelis. They've been living there for a long time. I don't know how many, but there are a lot. You walk on the street, we dived in there last Friday night, and we walk back, and people talking Hebrew. You hear people talking in Hebrew. There are a lot of Israelis there. And my daughter Chomi and my son Lashuli, they have across the street. So the block already has a lot of young Fum couples, and across the street there's an Israeli family. And you look at them, typical Israeli family with all of the trimmings, what that means, of a non-Fum Israeli family. And from the day that Chomi and Shuli moved in, the kids are going over there and bringing things and talking food and inviting for Shabbos, and when they first saw, you know, like they first, they see the Frum couples moving in, so they have like this angry look, like there goes the neighborhood, and oh, here we ran away from Eretz Yisrael, to get to America, so we just wouldn't have to deal with any of these things. And they're thinking that this is going to already be like a Haredi neighborhood, and we're not going to be able to go, you know, on Shabbos and so whatever. And they're like they're all revved up to argue and to fight and to give the whole Israeli attitude thing. But like the kids tell me, they're the sweetest people on earth, the sweetest people on earth. And the grandchildren, of course, they have to be gedarim, are playing with them. And they invite them over, and the second that we talk, the second that we reach out. And they were friendly to them. That whole tough thing falls, and it's a couple of Jews there. And what is it? And 99% it's like that. They make it's the media that's makalkal everything. They make it seem like all the non-religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael that they're all like Tommy Lapid. I'm not saying Yair, that was parenting. They like Tommy. He was Zichron Levracha was worse. The father. They make it seem like every Chiloni is like a Russia, Marusha. I'm saying the from media, the way they make it look, the way they make it appear. And on the other side, the liberal, the left wing Haaretz. They make all the Frumma look like they're horrible, and that they're Rishoyim, and that they're crazy and fanatics and so on. This is all, if it were possible, just take these newspaper people and put them all into one building, let them work it out, fight and scream each other. Regular Jews are not like that at all. The regular Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the non-religious Jews, Eretz Yisrael, the ones that came here, they're b'chlal not like that. And for the first 5 minutes they talk that way, you just have to hang out with them a little bit. They're b'chlam, I like that. And my other two kids just came back from HSL the other day, Chani and Suli, they came back from HSL, and they sat on the plane with an Israeli guy. He was wearing like a cowboy hat. And Suli's talking the whole way, he's talking about He came from this tzaddik, and he comes from that tzaddik, and they were learning together and talking the whole time. Again, they became best friends. If you sit on the airplane, if you sit in a taxi for 15 minutes. So this all comes from a few offices in Tel Aviv. All of the anger, all of the riches, comes from a few offices in Tel Aviv and a few offices and a couple of rooms in Bnei Brak. That's where it comes from. From the newspapers and the Ifraya newspapers, all of these, the kilkulim that come. Of course there are individual, Lahabas Kalim, Hasboros v'tochnios. Lahabas Kalim, Hasboros v'tochnios. All of the polls, all of the studies are showing that like 90% of the Israelis are ma'aminim. I don't know the exact number. Last time I quoted the poll, I messed it up very badly. Something that was different. That was about anti-Semitism. Anyway, I don't believe that because I think they're all anti-Semitic. I think that's 100%. Maybe there's one guy. Someone, I don't know. I never met him. So, but the studies show that the Israelis are ma'aminim. And the Pesach Hanukkah and the Pesach, they're ma'aminim. They're ma'aminim. You know how long, so many years already, reform and conservative, they're trying to make inroads into Eretz Yisrael. And they have a lot of money. They have a lot of money. They're not supporting all the Mises. They don't have to take care of Puppa and Salem, you understand? So, and mikvahs, they don't have to take care. They don't have to have kosher food either. They don't have to worry about any of these things. Don't have to pay for Torah Misinai. If Torah's not Misinai, it's very cheap. And they're trying, and they're trying so hard for so many years. Very little, very little. The Israelis don't go. They don't go for it. In America, it had a certain appeal. It's already Ois Gespielt, already wore off. Also, it had. But unfortunately, it was that back in the 40s, the 50s, it made such a chorban that. But already now, people want Yerushalayim Shalom Aleichem. they just don't have the kelim of Yerushalayim Shalmata, and they don't have the, they don't know what to do with the ur of idealism, with the ur of emuna. And they associate emuna with so many negative things. Because our hasbara is horrible, our publicity is horrible. They think that every frum person is a ganav, is whatever, is some child molester chas v'shalom, because of those rishonim that are doing those things, and it becomes very big because the newspapers make it into a huge inyan. Kiilu, this is what we're all about, chas v'chalila. And 99% are wonderful and caring and sweet and moderate, good, healthy people. So, Reklaharbus Kalim has brought us with Tachnias Hamo'ilim that will be effective. Losol Drochim to pave ways. Bishvil Estaglus Mises al Piharis Ayeser al Yonis. So that the new generation will be able to use this tremendous light that they have, this great supernal light of emunah and idealism that's shining into them. They should be able to use it in a practical way. Lamaisa. But Jews have to be communists. Communism, that ur that quickly became choshech of communism was an ur that appealed in the deepest way to the young generation. We spoke about that in Hakdama. And if, when one thinks about the pnimius of what communism was trying to, at the beginning, what it was speaking about, a very Jewish thing. It's, that's why so many Jews went meshugah for it. It appealed to the nefesh elokis very, very much. But they didn't have the kelim of what to do with that or. What's the union of communism? The feeling of shavius of kol ha'edo kulam kadoshim v'soichem Hashem. Rav Kook in Ha'iris writes about korachius. Korachius is communism. Kol ha'edo kulam kadoshim. Everybody's the same v'soichem Hashem. Korach was a big person. Korach was a big tzaddik. He had big hasagas. Big hasagas. He was a person who was on fire with the Baruch Shalom. Mamash on fire. And he saw Kol Ha'edu Kulam Kedoshim. There's an idealism in Korach of Kol Ha'edu Kulam Kedoshim U'B'Soichem Hashem. U'B'Soichem Hashem. He meant it. And he was right. What the mistake of Korach was is a very edel thing. But communism is a hergish of kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim u'b'soichem Hashem. What does it mean? We all are the same. There's a toast, there's a mistake in that. But it's also, on a deep level, it's true that kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim u'b'soichem Hashem. Madu tisnasu ha'kahal Hashem. What Korach was saying, Jews found very appealing. It hit them in a very strong way. Kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim v'soichem Hashem. And after the whole Ma'apecha and Korach was destroyed, everything fell into the ground. Then they said, Lugavanu. Then they felt like somehow we're nothing, we're worthless. You look after Korach. So you would think that after Korach was killed, Korach v'ados, if they were killed, you think that everything would be fine. And everybody will be walking around Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenneth, Shema Chod. That's not what it was. Look in Chumash, the Bimah B'Sedra. After Korach, people were Mutzah Brachim. Lugavanu. Oh, halavai, we should all die. He was talking about something big. There was a movement he was talking about. He was talking about Kol Ha'edo Kulam Kedoshim, that all Jews are holy. U'B'Soichem Hashem. And the feeling after Korach was that none of us are holy. The post-Korach period was one of tremendous yayush. He was talking about everybody being holy. And after that was finished, because of the mistake, which I'm not going into right now, then there was a terrible there's this terrible feeling of none of us are holy. We should just die. There's no chesha to go on living. I think karech was a small thing. He was talking about something the Jews responded to. The easiest thing is to dismiss revolutionaries. That's the easiest thing, is when there's a revolutionary, to dismiss him. He's crazy. He's an idiot. And therefore, a lot of the schmoozing that you find in books about Korach, it's all that same type of talk. It's always a feeling that if you have this, like some maggid, if I would have been in the days of Korach, I would have told him off. I would have told him how wrong he is. If I would have been in the days of Korach, if only they would have let me be back then. Korach was so stupid, the people who followed him were stupid. It's all stupid. Anybody with a little common sense would never follow a person like Kyle. Well, that's all you see in a lot of these swans, that they write like that. It's Dashonim. A lot of Dashonim, they talk like that. Whenever there's a revolution, it means that the revolutionaries have come into contact with something very deep in the generation. Was something very, very deep. Could be good, could be bad, but they've come into contact with something. To just dismiss the revolutionaries and to write off the revolution as nonsense is a terrible mistake. When there's a ma'apecha, it means that people are looking for something. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been successful. It wouldn't have appealed to people. It's not nonsense. There's something there. There's something that the people haven't been talking about. Same thing when a kid comes home, you see the kid has a funny look in his eyes, and then he starts to look a little bit different, and then he doesn't want to be in yeshiva anymore, and then So there's a revolution. So to just dismiss this as some childish narishkeit is a big mistake. Again, there's taivus. There's always the name of Tivus. But the revolution means that there's something going on that's not being addressed. You're not reaching the kid. The easiest thing is to just blame, to point fingers, but there's something there's certain iris and you haven't provided the child at the school, and the parents haven't provided the child with a kelim. So the same thing when it happens when there's a revolution in a country, they try to with force to defeat, to destroy, to cut off the supplies, to turn off the lights, and to squash the revolution. That often leads to a bigger ma'apecha. The Teretz is. Rav Kook says that we have to find ways. Derech harafur hi laharbus kelim hasbaras v'tachnias hamo'ilim losol drachim b'shvil histaglus ma'isis al pi ha'aris ha'yeser al yahis, to give ways for the new generation, for the young generation, to be able to contain this light and to use this light in a holy way, that light of revolution. ומתם זה בא גם כן הדרישה הגדולה לחירש הרוח ואימוץ הגוף. And because of this, Rav Kook says there's a tremendous demand for freedom of the spirit, freedom of ideas. Damn, the young generation, free-spirited. So the old generation says, you're not allowed to say that, you're not allowed to say what you're talking about, you're not allowed to talk that way. Where'd you get these ideas, these agayish ideas? There's a tremendous demand for Chayus HaRuach. We want to be free. The Yerushalayim Shalmata, they felt trapped. They felt imprisoned. Chayus HaRuach. There's a demand for freedom of spirit. freedom of expression, spirit. This is what I think. This is what I think. So oftentimes the response of the old generation is, I'm not interested in what you think. Okay. Then there's a rebellion. And we're going to be free. Cheres Ruach comes together with Imutz HaGuf, with the strengthening of the body. In Rav Kook's time, the whole musag of exercising, of sports, which again, the old generations, this is not, what are you doing? This is not the Olympics. What are you, you're a bunch of Misyavnim, a bunch of Greeks. I mentioned once before how when the kids were little, you know, I used to get them these coloring books in Borough Park or Williamsburg, I'd get these coloring books, and they have, you know how they have like about the parishes and Mitzrayim looks like Lee Avenue. You ever see those? You know what I mean? Downtown Mitzrayim, and the Jews then wore shtreimels and stuff. And so they had there's a Hanukkah coloring book. Hanukkah coloring book, and I was looking at it once, and I had in it guys with little yarmulkes playing basketball, and it said Yeshiva College, Yeshiva University, and it says on one side it says Misyavnim. Is it a Misyavnim Yeshiva College, a Misyavnim? Anybody that exercises, anybody that plays ball, is already from the other side, not from the Maccabim. Not from the Maccabim. Kilo the Maccabim were a bunch of yeshiva bachas. Rav Kook says the demand for Cheres HaRuach comes together with Imutz HaGuf. Imutz HaGuf, exercising, sports. Jews, the generation was tired of being pushed around. Imutz HaGuf. Ki rak ruach chazak va'amitz. And of course says, only a strong ruach, a powerful ruach, v'guf bari, in a healthy body. Guf bari v'eisan, a healthy and strong body. Yuchlu lahochil b'soichem b'li zazua sahorus ayesel yonis. Only a strong ruach and a healthy body is able to contain within it, without being shaken, without being broken, ha'arus ha'yoseh elyonis, our generation. A healthy, strong, powerful ruach, free spirit, a strong ruach, healthy bodies are able to contain this aura of the end of days, this aura of Ikfas of the Mashiach that's coming down from Shemayim. It's an unbelievable aura that's coming down now. And for this aura to be used in a healthy way, there has to be a tremendous ruach and strength, ruach, spiritual and physical, even physical. And to be able to stand with strength, powerful strength, that is fitting, an active life that is filled with the strength of creativity. Creativity that comes with freedom of spirit. That comes with health and freedom of spirit. Creativity. To be creative. Now there are many, many Jews, that was in the old generation, there are many Jews who besides the Creator, they don't want any creativity. And even the Creator, they think that he was finished a long time ago. The Creator. The Borei. But as far as a person being creative, creativity seen by the old guard as a threat. Creativity is a threat. When there's a person who's creative, that's a threat. When there's somebody who has a little bit of the tam of a revolutionary, that's a threat. Rav Kook says the people were looking for filled with the strength of creativity. and to draw out from within them pathways of life. It could be a refining, a cleansing that takes place in a deep way. All of these preparations are necessary l'tshuva shleima, to bring the generation to do complete tshuva. Ha'imedes achakos leino. And this tshuva, Puk says, is karev elach adav ma'oid ma'oid. It's not far away from us. We can do it. He says, ha'imedes achakos leino. It's imedes achakos leino. It's right on the other side of the wall. To get through that wall. That's what Puk wanted to do, to break down that wall. To break down that wall. So let's start a little bit by Rav Nir's commentary.
Amen.
We'll just start a little bit. Hamishnah Emeres Ki be'ikvus Mashiach B'tkufas ha'ifa'os shel ha'mashiach chutz be'yizke. We've been talking about this a lot, and we're learning about this in the Arsa Tshuva. The Mishnah says that at the end of days, in that last period before Mashiach comes, chutzpah yizke, chutzpah will increase. Ha-chutzpah tigdal v'tale v'tagia l'siyim shlahoy k'moysim, the chutzpah will rise, will reach levels that there have never been such chutzpah, there's never been such chutzpah. Ubamis Lifnei Kamasayim Shana. Rav Nir explains that the truth is that approximately 200 years ago, Hachelu Chalokim Gedolim Ba'am Yisrael Lisrachik Min HaTorah Mitzvos. Parts of Am Yisrael began to go away from Torah Mitzvos. Until 200 years ago, not only individuals, but beginning approximately 200 years ago, Chalokim, pieces of Am Yisrael began to leave. Hechelu chalokim gedolim ba'am Yisrael lisrachik min ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos, v'ha'talich hazeh rak holech v'yis'atzen. And this process of hisrachakus, of leaving, holech v'yis'atzen, went and becoming stronger and stronger. V'soch av achra av oid v'oid anoshim, and it schlept many, many, many more people along. Omnam, just to know, just for that little, there's a lot of notes here, what we're going to do. We'll do some of it. Just Omnam Hamachla HaNeiro, you see it's on the second side next. Omnam Hamachla HaNeiro Shul Hador, however, the terrible sickness of the generation, Kaisav HaRav, the Rav Kook writes, in our Maimer, in Hador, Ein Mekoim HaAikari, Lo B'Lev, you don't have that, V'Lo B'Regish, I didn't focus on the next page. I'm just reading to you, I'll start in Mitzvah afterwards. Rav Kook says, the source of the terrible sickness of our generation, we're going to learn that inside the mind. He says, Rav Kook writes, is not in the heart, is not in the emotions, it's not even the Tivus and Hefkeris. That's like we were talking about last week, it's not the Tivus and Hefkeris. Not because they're evil. Even though we see these symptoms in the generation, he says, "Yisod shlamachla hu hamaya koyach hamachshava," which we're going to see in the Maimon. The yisod is a misunderstanding. The yisod of the problem of our generation—that's what the Maimon is going to continue with—is a misunderstanding. Those of you who are married here, and are try to be honest, know that the vast majority of disagreements that have taken place over the years are due to misunderstandings. Misunderstandings. Oh, I didn't understand. Oh, that's what you... Oh. Mostly it's misunderstanding. In the machshava, there's a mistake. There's a toast. There's a mistake. There's an error. All the screaming and crying and yelling and fighting was on. It's a toast. There's a mistake. It's a misunderstanding. Same thing with friends. It's a misunderstanding. They're not explaining. They're not talking. People are not talking to each other. There's a problem in communication. And as a result of that, this misunderstanding. How many women over the years crying about this and that and that, and then when they try to talk to the husband goes like, oh, she just gives a 2.5 hour drush about what's on her heart and her mind, and his response to that is, she says, that's all you have to say, and that was his talkative day. That's when he was working out the Indian. Oh, you're upset with me? You're upset? Something's bothering you? I was just explaining to you the last 2.5 hours. What's been happening in this place for the last 30 years? And what do you have to say about it? I'll think about it. You have nothing to say? You have nothing to talk about? So sometimes he's just very insulted. So I heard he's very insulted. And then he walks around for the next week or two, you know, licking his wounds because she was being honest. And he walks around, he's angry. But to explain? To talk? Hasbara? A little hasbara? It's a misunderstanding. He's not the Rosh she thinks he is, and she's not the Tzedekus that she thinks she is. But they're not talking to each other. It's honest. Ein oimer ve'ein dvar. And there's a mistake. There's a misunderstanding. So why doesn't he explain? Why doesn't he talk? So to help correct this misunderstanding, he doesn't know how to. He doesn't have the kelim. Does not have to. This is very often the problem. Most women are much more expressive than men. Most, a lot of Africa, but most women are more expressive. Not because the toichen is deeper or richer, just that they have better capable to express. That's one of the Baruch Hashem gave such a gift, which is very often overused. And they have such a gift. So the guy doesn't have so much of that inyan. It's a misunderstanding. So explain yourself. So explain what's on your mind. So he can't. And then when he tries to explain it, then it comes out worse. It comes out worse. And she gets angrier. Then he loses his cheshek to even try to explain. And then they settle into that, you know, that 60-year program, you know. The Ice Age. The Ice Age. And no, Gemara, what am I doing? I talk, I cry, I beg. As a garnish, there's nothing to say. There's nothing, he doesn't care, he doesn't. And he's thinking she doesn't understand me. She's thinking he doesn't care about me. And the whole thing is a toast. It's a mistake. Where's the mistake? In cup. It's a mistake. Machshav, it's a mistake. The whole thing's a mistake. Minei ube, it's a mistake. And from there came kfir, in the relationship. Denial, rejection, anger, hurt. All from the mistake. A mistake. It's the same thing. That's what Rav Kook is saying in Klais. That's what Rav Avinair is explaining. He's saying it from Rav Kook. The chutzpah, 200 years ago, something changed. Okay, you know what? We'll Mitzvah after the summer, we'll pick up on this. So if you could put the pages inside the Maamar Hadar, but Mitzvah should be Kumitzi Mitoch HaHafecha, the Tzaddikim Tfashleim, and the Tzaddikim says talking about the 3 weeks. It's talking about the upcoming time of the year of Tammuz and Av. We should be Zeichim Mitzvah that the true light of the generation during this time will be revealed. And the Kumitzi Mitoch HaHafecha, that the hafecha, komitzi mitoicha hafecha, would be that all of the things that are dark now and all the things that cause us so much pain, that it'll all turn around, everything will open up, all of our children will come back home to Yerushalayim. And all of us will join. All the lost Jews, whether they're lost physically, like the children right now, those three boys, or they're lost like the thousands and thousands and thousands of other Jews who have homes but don't want to be home, who are lost in Ruchnius, in every way they're lost, that all of us should be able to be home with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Amen.